Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, and a very special episode today in replacement of our usual midweek drop of Something from the Cellar as we continue to mark and address Menopause Awareness Month. Now, until quite recently, menopause was, well, never really talked about, and if it was, it was often played out for laughs, the butt of the joke.
Mom, I'm having a really hard time here. Did it hit you this hard too?
Did what, dear?
Menopause.
Oh, I never had it.
Mom, everybody has it.
Well, I've always been quite health conscious. I told you to eat more vegetables.
No, not the testosterone implant. They turned her into an overheated sex maniac.
Can I just ask what this meeting's for?
In the menopause, boo.
Oh, well, we don't have that in America. We don't believe in it. Certainly not in L.A.
Womb prayer, everybody, no, womb prayer.
No, no.
Embrace the dryness.
Love your womb.
Come down, Lilith, and suck up our juices and blow.
But for millions of women, menopause and perimenopause is no laughing matter.
I didn't know what was going on with me. For years, it just felt like I was crazy and I felt completely alone.
I honestly believe HRT has saved my life. I still have mild symptoms and the occasional bad days, but it's nowhere near as bad as it once was.
I cry most days. I feel so frustrated that no one is listening to me. It's just so exhausting.
My partner doesn't listen to how I'm feeling and looks at me as though I'm inhumane. I cry most days and feel so frustrated that no one is listening to me. It's exhausting.
This is the reality for so many women. In fact, 600 million women worldwide are heading for the menopause, and one in four of them, when they go to their GP, will in the first instance be incorrectly prescribed antidepressants rather than being offered the chance to start HRT. In fact, this journey for women can be incredibly bewildering and in some cases quite scary, mainly due to the fact that A, we don't talk about it, and B, we're not educated about it. In fact, can you believe that 90% of us aren't taught about menopause in school? 90% of the women who are currently menopausal were never educated on it in their place of education. So no wonder we can be left scratching our heads
and wondering not only why did we walk into the room and what were we about to say, but how on earth do we navigate the perimenopause and menopausal landscape? But it's not only women that have questions. Men feel just as clueless too. In fact, we sat down with some of the guys in the office at White One Question Time, the production company that makes the show. And I really believe that this holds up a mirror to so many workplaces around the UK. In fact, around the world. We asked the boys, what do you know? What have you seen? Share your experiences. Here's what they said.
It was the sort of thing that I was always aware was happening, but didn't really understand or know that much about. The kind of extent of it was her talking about getting hot flushes and sometimes kind of having to stop what she was doing to recover from that. But beyond that, I didn't really see its kind of effect on her, and she wasn't one to talk about it too often, which I think partly meant that I probably didn't see a lot of what was going on.
Because I remember at school, it was something that was never, ever discussed. I'd never heard of the word menopause until like my mid-20s. So anything around what could be done at school or what we could teach our children, because I'm sure I would look back at my childhood now and I would remember my mum probably going through a lot of symptoms that millions of women also go through, but I would have had absolutely no idea. And it's a bit sad to think that I could have probably helped her or tried and supported her a bit more, but I just wasn't aware of what she would be going through.
See, when I hear conversations like that, it kind of makes me want to cry a little bit, because it just goes to show that actually just a simple conversation that's full of fact-checked, up-to-date, credible information can make so many differences on so many levels to every interaction that women who are going through the menopause and perimenopause have, be it with their children, be it with their friends, with their colleagues, and equally for the people around them to be able to better understand what they're going through, why their responses may be as they are sometimes. So we really wanted to deep dive this conversation, and through the course of making these shows across Menopause Awareness Month, two of the brilliant young women that work with me on the show, Temi and Taylor, they came to me with lots of questions. We were all researching this, trying to bring you the very best information we can. And they said, we've got so many questions. And I thought, well, then why don't you ask an expert so that you can better understand it? Because the one thing I can guarantee them both is that they're going to go through it. So they did. We asked Dr. Naomi Potter, who had featured in a previous episode with myself and Lisa Snowden, and who also happens to be my doctor, my menopause doctor, as well as the co-author of the book Menopausing, which she wrote with Davina McCall and has been awarded Book of the Year because it is the kind of, you know, menopause encyclopedia, I guess. We asked her if she could spare another 20 minutes at the end of our record so that Taylor and Temi could ask the questions that they'd been left with, having done a really good root around under the bonnet of what is menopause. So here they are. This is Temi and Taylor in conversation with Dr. Naomi Potter and me kind of acting like, you know, some sort of conductor of the White Wine Question Time Youth Orchestra. Naomi, for this episode, I wanted to expand the conversation to a different generation. On White Wine Question Time, I am beautifully assisted by two phenomenal young women, Temi, who is 25, and Taylor, who is 21. Taylor is 5-6 weeks into her working life. And in order to assemble the shows that we're making for Menopause Awareness Month, I tasked them with going off to research it. And their responses were so interesting that in the end, they kept, you know, we'd be on a call, for example, talking about work stuff. And then at the end, I'd say, any questions? And then they would say, actually, can we ask you a couple of things about the menopause? My mum, or, you know, and this is, I just said to them, well, actually, if you've got questions, why don't you put them to my doctor, which is you? Because they found the research to be, in some cases, I mean, Taylor, you said to me last night, I find this terrifying. So I don't want you to be terrified. I just want you to be informed. And Temi has more questions than answers. And these are two women that are going to go through their own menopause. Of course they are, because every woman does. So in this session, I've asked them to work up their own questions for us as we expand the conversation of menopause to the next generation. We are keeping our ladders down, ladies. So, Temi and Taylor, welcome to White Wine Question Time.
Hi.
Hi, thank you so much.
You've got the floor. Girls, I've given you total autonomy.
Yeah.
I've got no sight of your questions. So, Naomi, are you open for us to taking on their questions and seeing what we can impart by way of, you know, in my case, experience, in your case, fact and wisdom?
Of course, of course. Hi.
So who's going to go first? Tem, Taylor?
Yeah, I'll go for it. Yeah, I've been researching you so much and I've just, it's both like, I love researching it, but again, as Kate said, it is terrifying. It's so scary. And I was a bit of an overthinker. I was just wondering, is there anything I can do to prepare, I don't know, my mind, my body, everything, for maybe even the pre-perimenopause stage of life? I don't know. Is there anything I can do to ease that transition?
I think you've done it already, to be honest. If you've done all your research, and you, it's about being able to recognise changes, I think. And because if you can recognise what's going on, then you're armed, you know. And if there's something that you want to do about it at any particular point, you know what you need to do. I think it's because that there's been so much suffering in that is kind of in the perimenopause and generations gone by, because nobody's known anything and nobody's talked about anything and nobody's educated anybody, and there's been so much bad information, misinformation out there that everyone's been lost. But you'll be fine, because you'll know exactly what's going to happen. So don't be scared at all. You lot are all going to be absolutely fine.
Is there anything you can do in terms of your hormones? Is there any way you can track where you are estrogen-wise? So then if there's a drop or a switch, you're more likely to notice it?
Not really at the moment. I suspect that over the next couple of decades, we will, you know, by the time you're there, you'll probably be able to get one of those patches, you know, those glucose monitors that you can get to monitor your blood. I suspect we'll be doing those for hormones as well, but we can't do them at the moment. It's just an idea that I had, but I think it would, it will be revolutionary for the perimenopause. But at the moment, no. You can have blood tests, but blood tests are very unreliable because it's a snapshot in time. And what's important is what's happening over the course of months, not even 1 month, but it's many months. So it can be helpful. Where we find blood tests helpful is when you're already on HRT, and it's to see whether somebody's absorbed. But it's more we go on symptoms. But that's because we're very, probably very backwards, really, isn't it?
It's a lot of it as well, Tem, is things like, you know, like with your PMT, for example, if you suffer with PMT, I say this as somebody that every month would go, well, I still ovulate, I think. I'm on a call, I don't really know. But every month they go, God, I feel really angry and really this and really that. And then my period would start. And it was like, I'm like a goldfish. And I think so many women will understand this. You go, oh, it's my period. Like, it's new. Like, what? So I think in some ways, keeping a diary of your PMS or PMT symptoms and then trying to correlate those once you get into your early 40s. But, you know, for some women, perimenopause can start much younger. Not all women, but it's, you know, I know I've spoken with a lot of women who have, post giving birth, never felt that their, so in their mid 30s, never felt that their hormones quite settled again. And then in hindsight, I've realized actually I was going almost straight into perimenopause off the back of that. So you've got to learn to read your body in so many ways. And I think the best way to do that, if I had my time again, I would have written everything down.
Yeah.
And really kept a journal of how I felt. Because I think, you know, before the physical displays come along, for me, it was definitely the mental and the emotional. When I look back now, I probably should have been on HRT 3 years before I was. And that's 3 years I won't get back.
I think raising the question of like PMS symptoms and stuff like that is really interesting, because at our age, one of my like biggest questions was that, like, how can you distinguish between PMS symptoms and early menopause in women? Because I feel like the lines are pretty blurred.
They are. They are very blurred, because PMS can easily worsen in the perimenopause, and it can be the first thing and the only thing that kind of rears its head. And they aren't really distinct. it's because, you know, the symptoms that you get with PMS that are due to hormonal fluctuations, and the same in the perimenopause. A lot of those symptoms are due to hormonal fluctuations, and there is a massive overlap. The treatment is the same really anywhere.
So what would be the way medically to distinguish that? Would that just be like blood tests and stuff from the doctor?
You can't distinguish between PMS and perimenopause by any test. It's a clinical history that tells you whether someone. So if you only have PMS and you don't have any other symptoms, then you would probably be classed as having PMS as opposed to perimenopause. But you can develop PMS as one of the symptoms of perimenopause. And you would just, you treat them both in a similar way.
Girls, can I jump in here and ask you a question? Because what I was unprepared for was your levels of revelation when you started looking into this. The times that we would jump on a call and you'd go like almost indignant, like, did you know that this happens? And I'm like, yeah. And you're so outraged, quite rightly, that you didn't know this stuff. What have been the biggest eye-opening facts around menopause and perimenopause for you both?
I think it's that kind of knowing that it's not the end of the road. I don't know. When I was taught about it, it kind of felt like, oh, yeah, then your periods stop and then you die. When I was learning about it at school, like, you might have started your period, and then after that, like, later on, it might stop, and then when it stops, then you're old and you're it doesn't matter anyway. Like, that kind of was the framework, and I think kind of detangling that and completely unwiring what I was taught all those years ago has been absolutely insane.
That's really interesting, Tem. So, like, you know, obviously when you think of we weren't even taught at school that periods stopped. I just knew that they started. I didn't know there was an end. But it's really interesting, isn't it, the way you view that it's like, then they might stop and then you die. So you've got this impression of a wizened old woman, like a raisin of a human being that was once a fabulous grape, just kind of waiting in God's waiting room to cark it. And actually what you realise is that it's actually really vibrant, amazing 40-something, 50-something women that have still got half of their life ahead of them, you hope, and so much living to do. And this is just like a massive shitty bump in the road.
Yeah, but I guess it's even the fact that doctors don't have to learn about it when they're studying for their exams. I think it's something you have to opt into. So how do I expect teachers to know about it? Of course, like, teachers can't teach it well if even GPs and doctors don't have to understand it.
What about when you look around at women my age, right? So you work with me. I'm guessing that your mums are probably of a similar age to me. Not, you know, we're probably in the same ballpark. Has it changed the way you view us and see us?
Well, I mean, it's crazy on this call, Kate, because the struggles that you've spoken about quite openly today, I would have never known, because to me, you're like Wonder Woman. Like, the speed that you go through stuff is so incredible. But yeah, in terms of my own experience with my mum, it's interesting because she was going through perimenopause when I was going through puberty. But whilst I was kind of slamming doors and crying over silly things, I was a bit of a terrible teen. She, for the most part, had no real tells at all. There was, of course, the hot flushes and then mixing up my name with my sister's name, but sort of apart from that, there wasn't too much of a difference that I noticed, which is why doing this over the last couple of months has been so great, because I've been able to have an honest and frank conversation knowing some of the facts already. And what that's revealed, I've kind of gone up to both her and my grandma and been like, listen, what have I got to look forward to? And they've said, like, they got really, really hot. Kind of like chest on fire, kind of hot. Concentration was low, hard, lack of sleep at night, listless, like no energy to do anything, all those kind of stuff, which has given me so much more respect. Not only respect, I just feel closer to them than I did before. I definitely feel closer and more understanding. And also, I didn't even know what was going on. And I speak to that now, even knowing what's going on with you, Kate. I don't know what's going on. I don't think that I'm completely, don't think that I can't see things, but honestly, the way that your brain works, if this is it at half capacity or slower than it ever was, thank goodness I never went up against you in a job interview.
Kate is extremely adept at covering things up, though.
I am.
She's of literally all of my patients. You are phenomenal at putting on a brave face.
Do you think so?
I know so. I've seen you.
Well, not thanks, because I don't think it's a good thing. I think what I do is I have the most honest dialogue with myself and my very closest friends, where I will, you know, cry a lot, self-doubt, the paranoia, the not trusting myself to speak. What I've learned now is that when I get into those phases, they're just a phase. It's a phase. It's going to pass. And, you know, just go out for the walk, do the Pilates, you know, breathe, do all the stuff that it doesn't come out of a bottle. Don't just rely on HRT to be your everything. You have to support the work it does with all the other stuff. So I'm learning, but I'm also learning to be vulnerable, because I can see that it's been helpful that I've been that candid with you, Temi, and that actually the way you will now go and view your mum on the back of all these conversations we've had, I need to give a little bit more of that over for the greater good, really. And I love that you can understand what your mum's been through in a way that you probably couldn't had we not done these shows. So for that, I'm like, you know, I'm inordinately proud. And I was blown away by you both when you came to me with so many questions. And I mean, Taylor sent me a document last night that I was looking at in bed at about 12:30. And I was like, blimey, we could do like 3 1-hour specials on this. Because Taylor, I'm going to bring you back in now. You have so many questions. And this is something that you and your mum have discussed quite a lot, because your mum works with, you explain to me what your mum does for a living.
So my mum's a nurse. She works in the community, but then also she does works in a women's health clinic doing vaginal rejuvenation. So she deals with women on a daily basis. And like talking to my mum's really open about the menopause and like HRT and stuff. And I think working with Kate and working on all these menopause specials as well, it's really highlighted to me kind of everything about HRT that I didn't know. I didn't know that it was so, so hard to get. Like I know a lot of women have to go private for it, which is obviously a massive accessibility issue. When I was doing the research, only 14% of women are on HRT in the UK. And obviously, most people that I've been speaking to have said it's absolutely life-changing for them. So it's just a shame that it seems so hard to get. And also a question that I have surrounding HRT that I'm really like kind of feel like can be maybe a long answer is, when you are on HRT, you want it for, I mean, it's probably dependent on different women, but you want it for the rest of your life? Does it like stop working?
It's a really good question, and there isn't an answer to that. It depends. So for every woman, you discuss every year, you know, she's settled on HRT, you have a conversation about the risks and the benefits of staying on it, as opposed to the risks and the benefits of coming off it or reducing down. So there, we don't really know at the moment, and we don't have long-term data on women, say, on the current HRT regimes over 20 or 30 or 40 years. This is all emerging stuff. And so we will know so much more by the time you guys get there. But at the moment, we just don't know. But a lot of women are just, I can't live my normal life without it. And so they want to stay on it. And others are like, you know what, I think I might just try and see if I can cope without it. And some of them do very well. So it's just, it's very, very individual.
Yeah, so many women are different. And that is like what's crazy. With the HRT, what hormones are included in that? Because am I right in thinking that testosterone isn't?
It is. Testosterone is a type of HRT. So HRT means hormone replacement therapy. So any of the hormones that you use, you know, as part of the menopause treatment is part of HRT. And that would be estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. But as a kind of routine prescription would normally just be estrogen and progesterone, and then some women have testosterone in addition, but it's less commonly prescribed.
It's not licensed on the NHS, so it's at the discretion of your GP. Is that still right, Naomi, or is that old information?
So, there is a licensed female product, but it's only available privately. So that's Androtherm. And There are male products that are available on the NHS, but they are not licensed for use in women. So your GP can prescribe the male products for you if they are comfortable doing that. But the issue with prescribing testosterone is you've got to know how to prescribe it. You've got to have experience in prescribing it and in monitoring. And so a lot of GPs don't have that experience because they never received any training in how you prescribe testosterone.
And the frustrating part of that is that for me, and every woman is different, right? Everybody is different. But for me, testosterone was the missing piece of the puzzle. It's the bit that put everything back. That I felt I'd lost about myself. I got my productivity back. I could complete a sentence. I was working my way through my to-do list every day. I was back in the room. I would never have had that experience had you not been able to prescribe testosterone to me. So this is where I get really upset that so many women will not have that opportunity because they just don't have access to doctors like you or are able to afford to see doctors like you. And that for me just breaks my heart, really, because it's really important. It's really important. Also, I think let's clear up fact or fiction here. Testosterone, male hormone, female hormone. Which one is it?
It's a female hormone and a male hormone.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
The knowledge of testosterone is still very much in its infancy and about how it works in women. We don't really know how it's transported or how it's taken up into cells, what functions it has. It's a mystery, really, and because it's never been given much attention. But the fact that we have it clearly means it does something, and we know that it does something, especially because if you have a surgical menopause and testosterone levels can be cut off, overnight, women really feel it in some instances. So it's all emerging stuff. We just don't know very much about it.
That's interesting because when I've read about testosterone, a lot of the research is on menopause, sex drive loss and like your libido. But I guess what you're saying is it does different things to that maybe or more than that?
It definitely has a role in libido, but it's not the only role in libido. So if you have a low testosterone and you have a low libido, then that's when testosterone is recommended by guidelines at the moment.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Taylor, what's your next question, darling?
I want to know, does the experience of menopause differ for women thrown into it as a result of like hysterectomies or radiotherapy or stuff like that? Is it like more severe or did their symptoms look different?
They can be. So if you have your ovaries removed, so when your ovaries are removed, it's called an oophorectomy, but it often happens at the same time as a hysterectomy. So you have a lot of women have everything taken out at the same time, and that is called a surgical menopause, and it can be much more extreme than a natural menopause because all of a sudden your hormones go overnight, and it's very, very badly managed, well, worldwide, really. It's been poorly understood. The problem is that it's surgeons that remove ovaries, and surgeons are not medics, so they're not used to prescribing medicines to make people better. They're used to cutting things out to make people better. But there's nowhere for these women to go. There's not a surgical menopause clinic after you've had your surgical menopause. They're left high and dry, and GPs are expected to manage it, and they don't know how to because they've not been trained. And it's a very tricky group, and they are. I mean, we have suicidal women come to our clinic, and it's often those ladies who've had surgical menopause.
Mm.
That's absolutely awful. Like the one stat that I found when I was doing my research was that women between the ages of 45 and 54 have the highest suicide rate of any female group, with about 7 in every 100,000 taking their own life, which just shows you how hard of a time this is.
It is definitely a time associated with mental health issues, absolutely. I mean, I used to work at in a psychiatric hospital when I was doing my general practice training. And I look back now at the women who were there in their 40s and 50s who had never had a previous mental health issue. And we were treating, they were refractory to psychiatric treatment in a way that other psychiatric patients weren't. Nobody could understand what was going on with them. And they were so unwell. And I look back now and it's just like, they were hormonal. It was menopause, perimenopause. I have such regrets about it. I mean, I know it at the time, but it's if I'd known what I know now back then, oh my god, we've been able to make a difference.
That's shocking, isn't it? We've been so underserved, misunderstood. And you're right, you look at those stats that Taylor's highlighted there. I get it. I never, you know, having struggled with eating disorders as a teenager, I would say that I've always had really robust mental health ever since, and I've worked at it, I've been in therapy, I've studied as a therapist, and then suddenly this stage of life came along and I didn't know my mind anymore, and it was frightening. It can be really frightening. It ends, it gets better. I'm not saying this to scare people, but I think it's what you've just told us there is very stark, and you know, I apologize to all those women who have gone before us who have not been helped or supported properly. It's just shocking. Tammy, any other questions?
Well, yeah, I guess following on from that, moving on to like post menopause, or like when you're on out on the other side, what can I expect? What is it? Is it one of those things where you kind of return to a state you were in before? I assume not. It's more just you're a different person and your body's different, and it's, yeah, you're post it, but you're not going back to what you were before, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense. That's exactly what happens. You've explained it perfectly. Yeah, so it's you know, before puberty, you have a kind of hormonal, you know, level playing field, and during your reproductive years you have a cycle, and then in the perimenopause it all goes a little bit bananas, and then postmenopausally it then levels out. And some women continue to have symptoms into the menopause. You can have women who have hot flashes in their 80s, mm-hmm. but normally it settles. It normally settles down. And then that's just the new you.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about that stage of your life, Tem? This perimenopause and menopause, now that you're aware of it, how do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I it's still a bit nerve-wracking, to be honest with you. It is something, but it's quite nice that you've opened up the discussion, and I'm excited for the post part. the 10 or so years of having of having like puberty all over again, but with more responsibilities. It doesn't sound great, but I guess, but it is all about knowing what to expect, and then because there's so much misdiagnosis, and I know my mum had experience where they just gave her loads of antidepressants because they thought she was like too young to be going through it, and I think having more of a awareness about it, I guess you could push back a bit more with GPs, although these discussions make me feel slightly better about it.
I think that by the time you get to this stage of your life, there will be menopause clinics for women, and there will be an understanding of like, well, of course we've got to have support for it. It's 51% of the population. you know, at the moment, we're losing 900,000 women from the workforce as a result of their menopausal symptoms, preventing them from feeling like they want to carry on with work or that they're even able to. So there's an economic argument for this as well. I hope that you don't have to fight like we have had to fight to get the support and understanding that you need. And I hope that everybody will understand it better. I mean, girls, one thing we did ask the girls to do, Naomi, was to go around the office, right, to ask. At the offices where we make Work When Question Time, lots of shows are made, fundamentally sports shows. So lots of guys in the office. What were some of the questions that the boys had for this discussion?
One of the main things I'd be interested to know about the menopause is kind of, as a young person, how much we should be considering and thinking about the menopause, because it's something that will affect us all at some stage, whether it's people who are going through it or whether it's people we know and people we're close to going through it. But obviously it's something that normally enters your life as you get older, but being prepared and thinking about it is not a bad thing. But it's just how much, as a young person, you should be thinking about it and considering it before it really comes into your life.
Now that people are talking about it and they understand it and they know how to recognize it, it's completely different, because they will see that in their partners and they'll recognize it in a way that we didn't with our mothers. So I'm really optimistic. I think it's just that I really am. You know, 5 years ago, we never imagined people would be talking about. I remember saying to people, you know, when they asked me what I did, I said, I do, I'm a menopause specialist. And they look at me like, what? You know, what's that? Yeah, it's so different now. And then now they're just like, oh, another one, you know. It's so different now. And it's, if you guys, it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine.
One thing I'd love to learn more about with regards to the menopause is how me or anyone could support their partner in later life who's going to go through it at some stage.
It can be really hard, because it can be difficult to extract yourself from the relationship, can't it? If somebody's not being very nice to you, whatever the reason, they're still not being very nice to you. And if it's a parent-child relationship, you know, you forgive that child for anything. You forgive your parent for anything. But it's different when it is a adult-to-adult relationship. And it can be really hard, but I think it boils down to education and talking and understanding and seeking help. And sometimes you do just have to kind of go through it a bit to see what's going to happen and how things are going to settle down. But that can be really hard, because you hold on to stuff even when you know somebody's been mean to you for a reason. You still, sometimes it can be really hard to shake that baggage, can't it?
And it's very difficult to understand if you're not, you know, hostage to your hormones is how I describe it. You know, the number of times I've lashed out during these last few years, and, you know, I can explain it to my mum and she gets it because she was there once. But for my son, for my partner, it's different. And it's like, no, you're just a bitch. And I'm like, no, I am a bitch, but I get that. And I'm so sorry, but I wish I could control it. And sometimes it is just beyond your control. And you have to find a way to forgive yourself for it. Otherwise, you just spend all week sat indoors, just self-loathing. And that's not helping anybody, especially you. I say that, I don't practice it, by the way. I'm very good at saying it, very bad at doing it.
Yeah, and kind of following on from that, some of the other stuff we spoke about in the office was to do with the cultural differences. How do you think culture plays a part in the treatment and maybe the understanding around menopause?
Massively. Mm. Absolutely massively. So in some cultures, there's no word for menopause. So how do you begin to have a conversation about menopause when you haven't got the word for it? You know, even so, a lot of women's health can be taboo, and this is just part of women's health, and so it can be extremely hard for those women to have access to care and support, because they haven't even got the language to begin to say what's happening. And that is a struggle that we continue to see. That's more of a challenge.
Does the menopause manifest itself differently in terms of different cultures and ethnic backgrounds based on historic diets? There's lots of things that inform it, right? What are the findings based on the fact that we have very little research to go on?
Yes. There are reports that different cultures and ethnicities do have different symptoms. So pain can be one of them. So South Asian women tend to report kind of more overall body pain than other women as part of the menopause. So there are different pockets of symptoms that are described differently. But also it's hard to really establish what's really going on if you haven't got the language, and there are taboo barriers and cultural barriers to even begin to have those conversations. And there are some phenomenal people out there kind of trying to do work to break down those barriers and taboos. But it's very hard to kind of penetrate into those. They're so deep rooted. You know, sex isn't talked about, periods isn't talked about, and menopause isn't talked about, and things like vaginal dryness and urinary tract infections and libido and things. It's to break down those taboos takes so much trust and time.
So there's a lot of work to be done there. Girls, any other questions for Naomi before we allow her back into the wild to treat women like me?
Yeah, I have one more. You seem very positive about how it's going to be so much better for us, which is so reassuring. In the NHS, are you seeing active change with like things in terms of accessibility and the menopause and like solutions like HRT and stuff like that? Are you seeing active change and progression now?
Definitely, definitely, definitely. So 4 or 5 years ago, we would have patients come to us who have had absolutely no help from their GPs at all because they've not understood their symptoms, recognised their symptoms, have known what to do. It is much, much less common for that to happen now. We now tend to see specialists, you know, cases that are appropriate for a specialist centre, you know, complex medical backgrounds or breast cancer or HRT regimes that are hard to get to grips with, whereas we used to get women come to us with hot flushes and night sweats and periods changing and oh my goodness, I can't get help on the NHS. We really don't see very much of that anymore, and that's because NHS GPs are sorting these patients out without the need for them to come to us. Prescriptions. So the HRT shortage is an issue. That's across the board. We've had problems accessing HRT for private patients as well. But I think, and that's a battle that's continuing, and that's for all sorts of reasons. It's not just about awareness, but there's, you know, economic and political reasons for that. But the climate is definitely changing. There are new menopause centres. You know, funding for those is a battle because funding for everything is a battle, but it is definitely changing. You know, it's your average GP knows about menopause now, whereas they probably didn't 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think also because the conversation is so loud at the moment, we're able to educate ourselves. So quite often you can walk in to a doctor's surgery knowing more than you would about any other condition that you present with, right? Because it's there and it's accessible. And there are brilliant books available like yours with Davina. You know, the fact that one book of the year, Naomi, tells you the need for it, doesn't it? Out of all the other books that were published last year, you got the book of the year.
I can't believe it. I know, yeah. It still hasn't sunk in yet. It's bizarre. It's amazing.
Well, as are you both for the work that you do, and not just with Davina, but with the menopause mandate, all the stuff that you do with Lisa. Thank you for the education. And thank you for talking to the girls today, because they will be future patients. It's nice, isn't it? Thanks for doing it.
Oh, it's lovely to meet you. It's great. Well done.
Girls, I feel slightly like a proud mother here, but well done.
Stop it, Kate.
I am proud. But also, I'm really flattered that you're interested at this life stage, that you see it, that it's not just over there. And I just wondered, like, how it's changed the way you think about that that life stage for yourselves, but also how it changes the way you see women of my age, like your mums, me, the older brigade.
I feel like now I'm even more empathetic than I was before. I feel like originally I was like, oh, that must be tough. But now I'm like, wow, you have so many things going on all at once. No wonder you guys feel the way you feel half the time.
Yeah. Well, I kind of wanted to take this time to like thank you and your entire cohort and all your girlfriends who've kind of smashed the doors wide open on this topic. And I don't know, you're making so much noise in the process, and it's great. You guys have like made menopause sexy, and you've recentered the narrative. Even to like a point that I feel like when I'm going through menopause, there'll be no taboos left. You've kicked them all away.
I really hope that you come and visit me in my old people's home when I'm living next door to Jane Fonda, and you tell me, because that's what's going to happen. And then when you come into an asset, and then you'll say, oh yeah, it was so easy, you know, because there was all this help and there was all this infrastructure, and this will have all been, you know, for something. That will be great. But mostly, I just want to say thank you to you two for having the interest, right? I've been blown away by your response and the way it's made you prick your ears up and sit up. And the same with the guys in the office. And when I say guys, I mean the boys in the office as well as the girls, who've all shown a real genuine interest in this. So thank you. I am your proud mum, but also I just think you're quite remarkable. So well done, girls. Thanks. Right, back to work.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.